No,
I had a house.
Okay, I was thinking.
You got one of the mics close to you, Fred.
What? I'm sorry.
You got one of the microphones close to you because I can barely hear you.
What?
Where are they? Oh, they're all over.
I concur. I can't hear him either.
Why don't you?
Yeah, get yourself squared away up there for crying out.
No. Okay. The mics are down in the. For people that are Frankie and Sharon, we may want you at when you're talking.
Yeah.
To
come,
okay. Right, Sharon has got a long presentation, so her.
Mr. Chair, we just turned on the overhead mic speaker,
oh,
so
help
that
too.
May help some.
All right. We're not open yet for business. We're just getting set up. What about? Yeah, and what? US West? I was GTE country.
I thought he was Bell Telephone.
Yeah, Bell Telephone.
He gave away.
Okay.
Very sounds perky. Oh,
yeah.
I forgot. I have just minor items on the minutes.
Jerry, how you doing?
Minor.
All right.
And rather than go through them, I'd like to just give them to Nick. The only thing I want to mention is that Norm was there via phone.
All right, then we'll just do that.
And then I had
to
just like type.
Okay, I think we're about ready to start. Heather, are you with us? Good. All right, I'm going to call to order the meeting, April 15th, 2015 meeting of the membership of the Foundation, of the Oregon State Capitol Foundation. I'm Fred Neal, Chair, and I want to welcome you all here. It's a great turnout. Hopefully you found parking with the legislature in session. And I especially want to welcome Kim Duncan, our newest member, who's here.
You've got a wonderful name. Just grabs you.
Kim is a great name.
Oh, okay.
And with joining us on the phone are Norm Smith, Gary Wilhelms, and Ed Shopes. And I want to also let you know, Gary, I'm not preempting you, I hope, as chair of the nominating committee, but Paul Hanneman emailed Gary and me last night and resigned. I'm a little worried, and I hope it's not health-related, that he couldn't drive to meetings, but he felt that someone that could attend meetings would be better suited to replace him. So I sent him a nice note. He's going to follow with a formal letter. So we have a vacancy. And I was just for the record say that Paul's been a great member. And he looks, he's immortalized in the Beneath the Dome video. And he's a part of history. I told him I'd send him a bumper sticker I just came across at some estate sale, and it said, "Beautify, keep America beautiful, swallow your beer cans." As one of the parents of the bottle bill, I thought that would be appropriate for him. All right. Let's just go to phone there. Okay. Approval of the January minutes. Joan has one comment.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chair. I noticed we need to correct. Norm Smith attended the January 21st meeting on the phone, and he's showing as excused. And then, other than I just found a few typos there that should be a there, an S, and some things like that. So, what I propose is just to hand the typos to my corrections to Nick and have those changes made. Nothing substantive that I found, other than Norm.
Okay, with that amendment and correction of any typos.
Can I have a question?
Yes, Norm.
And maybe I've just never noticed it before, but this is headed up as the Joint Committee on.
Oh, yes.
And I don't recall the derivation of this.
All right. we went through this at the executive committee meeting 2 weeks ago, and Nick explained to us, that because there are both senators, sitting representatives on it, that under LAC's protocol, that is a joint committee, and that's just the letterhead. We're still known as and comport ourselves as the Oregon State Capitol Foundation. But that's how the minutes come out in the format of LAC. So,
all right, thank you.
Yeah, don't take it too seriously. We are, I guess, a statutory creature, so that probably also lends.
Well, until you get to the 501c3, and then
that would be the fund, yeah. And we know we have much transition ahead of us, and we'll be discussing that today as well. All right. So Joan Plank moves adoption of the minutes with a correction. We don't need a second. Is there any objection? Any further? I mean, I'm sorry. I should have entertained any other questions or additions. Okay, good. They are adopted. There you go, Nick. All right. Now let's review the financial statements. Remember, in response to the last year's audit, where Sherry Scholes suggested that either the treasurer review all expenditures, you know, weekly or at some periodically, or that the full foundation review it, we decided that it's best that we all review the financial transactions. Are they? Yes. Especially the expenditures. So I'm going to turn this over to Nick and Jerry. First, the financial statements, and then we'll look at the 990 tax filing.
I defer to Nick.
Okay. Very briefly, if you look at your balance sheet, the foundation combining its operating and history gateway funds currently has just over $1 million in its checking and operating accounts. That includes our PayPal account, which still has some remaining funds in it. Jerry and I have discussed that account we will close out since we're no longer using, and transfer the money to our general operating checking account since we don't need it anymore. Total liabilities and equities is also just over $1 million. And that's all I have for the balance sheet.
Any questions on the balance sheet? No, go ahead.
Profit and loss budget versus actual. This is as of March 2015. We'll show our current budget and where we stand. It seems to be business as usual in all of our accounts. Nothing significant to report or any significant changes since the last meeting.
Mr. Chair, I might just add that the Budget Committee is meeting on the 28th, and this is a document that we will be working on. There's been several questions raised about way some of the money is reported. There's been some question about categories. You, Mr. Chair, have asked that we do some consolidation, and that will be basically our concentration on the 28th.
Right. It's very particular in its line items. And that worked well, I suppose, sufficed when we were much smaller, but especially with the growth of the gateway and our increased participation and sponsorship of visitor services activities, and also trying to communicate more regularly with our membership and supporters, it would behoove us to have more flexibility in our budget.
And Mr. Chair, that's, as you know, one of the budget committee's goals is to make certain that every committee member is aware of what the budget contains and how the money is collected and expended.
And you will do a great job, I am convinced. Joan, you had some comments?
I just had some specifics that I forwarded to Jerry. I mean, some of it's just understanding things, like it says the budget under the income for the hello again is $23,000, but on the other side it says it's 11 $1,011 was correct. So that's really, I think, revenue, not budget. I mean, so just things that are hard to follow. And then there were a couple of things in terms of, I guess they were on the transaction detail,
right,
where I found some issues, and you know, we'll fix them.
And Mr. Chair, there are several requests for changes in the budget, not only this year's budget but next year's budget, and there are some requests for additions to the budget. And if I haven't gotten any from anybody that yet, be sure you get them to me before the 28th.
Right. Any other questions on the balance sheet? Nick, the transaction detail by account, again, is something that you should all scrutinize and be aware of, certainly contributions, but also specific expenditures, because we're relieving Jerry of the onus of being the sole arbiter of the appropriateness of those post-signing the checks. It's our responsibility as a group. Quarterly. All right. And this is a quarterly report, January 1 through March 31. Executive Committee didn't have the last week of March's figures. And this is complete quarter.
This is actually fiscal year to date. So
right.
This is July through March.
Right. It's the full. But it is through March 31. Great.
It was a lot easier when we only had $600.
Exactly. I think we're better off now in so many ways. All right. So Sherry Scholes filed our 990 tax return. Again, this.
Brad, this is Ed. I have a question.
All right.
Looking at the profit and loss budget versus actual bottom of page 2 net income shows a minus.
Hasn't been spent is what I think it is, and it shows a minus. That's what's confusing. Where is he?
Right.
Page
yeah.
2.
Yeah, we're under budget.
We're under budget. That's why this is confusing.
Okay.
Right. Budget is the middle column. Actual expenditures is the first column on the left. And so our expenditures are $11,200 under budget, say again, for the Hello Party. You know, that's, but I, seems to, that's odd. I don't.
The third column there is how much over budget we are. I'm guessing that's just because that's the metric they want to set up so you know if you're ever going over budget. So then to do the math correctly, it actually shows up as a negative if you're under budget.
Right.
So negative is good in that column.
Right, which makes
sense. Right.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Look at this column. Just
yeah, it's a little tricky. Okay. The 990, of course, is just for the fund. And so only the fund directors really have a fiduciary responsibility to review it at this point. But get used to seeing it once a year, because we will all be directors of the reconstituted or revised fund, the 501c3. Come September 15th, and we will all have a fiduciary responsibility. Hopefully, we will have some fiduciary training at the October retreat, just to bring everybody up to speed on your new responsibilities. Not that I suspect that every single one of us have served on a board of a 501c3 in some capacity already, but the foundation is going to need your help. We all need your help as we proceed through the transition. So any comments on the 990? Sharon, did you have anything to say about it?
Well, do we know what we're looking at here? I mean, is there anything significant we should be looking at, certain pages or anything?
I don't think so. Nope. And this is, of course, filed with the Department of Justice, Oregon Department of Justice as well.
IRS.
Well, it's filed with the IRS, but it is also filed with the Department of Justice.
Well,
Mr. Meeker.
One comment
yes.
should be made about the 990.
about 4 or 5 pages from the back. It says supplemental information to Form 990. And you go down to where it says audit report. And the auditor says audited financial statements are pending. No. Completion of field work. Amounts included in this reconciliation are anticipated amounts at this time. You just need to know that the audit's not complete. And the alert to everyone is it's not complete. And
right.
That's not, it's mainly because our auditor gave us a really, really good price, like $2,000 or $3,000 below market, and she had to take care of her other clients during tax season. Pretty simple. She called and apologized.
And I'm pleased that she found time this close to today, yeah. April 15th, to even call.
I'm surprised, I was going to say, I was surprised she called like 3 weeks ago, right in the middle of all of this.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you just need to know that the audit is not done. She said she has not seen anything of any concern, just that
right.
It's paperwork.
Right. And for those of you on the phone, that's Tony's talking about Schedule O towards the back of the, I think you all got an electronic version of this at some point. And I think that will also suffice for our audit report, audit update. It's pending. And so now the executive committee met 2 weeks ago, and we undertook some financial business that needed to be taken in order to retroactively authorize the expenditures for the Cherry Blossom Festival, which we did. We needed to give Dr. Busey a heads up that we did intend to extend his contract after July 1 for the Gateway coordinator. And help me here, there was one more financial transaction. Dropbox. We authorized Nick to undertake both a newer, bigger, the business model of the Dropbox, and it is now available. I think you all got an email.
Executive committee
got a notice because it's for committee chairs to use that Dropbox as the means of communicating with each other and holding drafts of documents until they're ready to roll out. That's Dropbox. We'd had a nice little small version of it that reached its capacity rather quickly. And we also authorized Nick to go out and contract for a constant contact account, which will allow us to communicate with all of our members by email far more frequently with news and updates. But I think Ed will talk about that in the Communications Committee report. Now, the fund board will meet following this foundation meeting to ratify those expenditures, since they hold the purse for all of our expenditures. So that's the executive committee report. I would now turn this over to Jenny and Sharon for the development committee report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if people on the phone can hear me or not.
Hello, Ed.
Yes, we're not hearing Jenny very well at all.
If all right.
Closer to the Star Trek film, that would be great.
Do you want the mic?
One right here. Sure.
Oh, okay.
Let
trade places, Jenny. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. This right here.
All right, we're getting there.
Better?
Perfect. Yep.
Great. Thank you. I am going to do a speed report on development committee activities, and then Sharon's going to walk us through the next iteration of some training and a little workshop on giving and how to ask and how to receive and all of that. So I won't take a lot of time on my part. We've had a busy few months on just getting lists reviewed and corrected and consolidated, donor recognition program
is underway with confirmation letters going out to people who have contributed money over the last few months. There will be a newsletter opportunity for listing of pioneers, depending on the, using the new categories of giving, we'll be able to begin to recognize people in that way. And Sharon is working with staff on updating the technical part of the donor board. So with Herb's cooperation and coordination between the two committees and the good staff work, I think we're making some headway on getting that up to date. The development committee went through an interesting process of going through lists and lists of contributors pretty much from day one to try to organize how we will want to begin a cultivation program for either more consistent giving from people who have been good donors in the past, some that we may want to focus on a legacy gift or an endowment gift, but to just try to sort of organize how we will pursue a little more focused, a little more organized ask program by the development committee and many of you as well. Sharon and I will begin in the next month or so to have phone calls at this point with some of the larger foundations around the state to just inquire about what, if anything, they know about the Oregon State Capital Foundation, what it would be useful for them to know about the foundation, kind of walk them through the changes that we're making in our organization structure, news of what's going on here, and just try to begin to develop the relationship so that at the right time we can do a grant application from one or more of them for either a specific item or general funding. So that's underway as well. The next task for us is to get busy on how to put together a campaign to ask members, that is you, to renew your gift or increase your gift, but that will be some months down the road. But we just want to make sure that we don't try things once and then let them drop, that we need to be really consistent and dedicated to making this a routine kind of approach for us on the foundation. And then finally, we spent a good deal of time talking about the idea of an endowment for the Oregon State Capital Foundation, and decided that the time couldn't be any more right, and we might as well get on with it. So we went to the executive committee with a proposal to launch an endowment campaign. They said, go ahead with that. We are hoping to get to $25,000 pretty quickly over the summer. That's the threshold amount for the Oregon Community Foundation to take on the management of a fund. So that's where we want to be, so that we can go to Max with an application and say, we're ready and we'd love to do business with you. I'm really, really happy to announce to you that we have the first $5,000 in commitments in hand today. So,
Woo! Guys, Jenny!
So that means we only need to find 20 more people who will come in at a founder's level to get us to the place that we need to be to go to the Community Foundation. We have what I think is a really good list of about 100, a little more than 100 people.
It's actually at 200 now.
When oh, it's at 200. Good. That we will use to as our founders list in hopes of getting at least 20 of them to say yes. And so we'll just get about pursuing that with as much speed as possible. So that is the report of the Development Committee. I'm happy to take questions. And if there aren't any, we'll just move on to Sharon's part.
Pretty exciting.
Just
oh, yes.
An observation. I think it would behoove us to make sure we have the ability to accept stock. And I can't remember, I think we did something about that as far as a policy, but you have to set up the mechanism through a broker.
Oh, through a broker?
Somewhere, Tony.
I don't think we do.
Okay.
We used to have one, but we don't now. I know that that the board adopted a policy that we would accept gifts of all kinds, including stock.
Right, okay. And I think Nick trained
you
us up.
You have to have a broker that is willing to take the stock, immediately sell it, I mean immediately, to transfer it to cash, and then you get the cash.
Well, my understanding is that the donor, we would just notify, we would, once we had possession of the shares, we would know what the market price was of that moment.
Yes.
And that is the value of the gift.
Right.
But it may not, by the time we convert it, be the actual cash that we receive.
Oh, no, it would be.
Well, if we had a broker,
we
sold
it. Right.
I'm affiliated with two other nonprofits that do this. In fact, we've actually made a few cents each time, because the donor always gives a little bit more in share value to get the cash level wanted.
Sharon,
we've done that to our church,
right?
Yeah, sure. I was just going to say the key issue is we just got to get that brokerage account set up and the information so you're ready when somebody wants to make the gift. There's a few little numbers and things. You got to make it easy. It's broker to broker.
Thank you for raising it, Tony. We will make sure that we're ready to accept any and all.
Right. We do have Fidelity accounts, but I'm not sure they're prepared to be a broker.
Frankie, did you have a comment or a question?
Only an observation or an off-the-cuff comment that was made to me by Rick Metzger. Somebody who is very valuable to this foundation, and he wanted to know all of what we're talking about. So I was wondering if there was some way to share with him. Sharon, I don't know if you know that he was the reason that we have the license plate money. And I said that there was another bill in, and he said, but are you making money in any other way? And I said, yes, we're working on it. We hired a development person, and there's a plan, and maybe he needs to kind of know that.
That's a great idea. We'll do that.
We're on it.
We're on it. Thank you.
Good.
Fred, I noticed in the materials that when we were going through the list that we had incorrect information on Mr. Metzger since he's now moved to D.C. So, Frankie, can you get his contact information to Ginny and Sharon?
I don't know.
we'll track him down.
Okay.
One way
I just
or another.
Know that he's
thank
in
you.
D.C.
We know where he
works.
Yeah.
To work.
And I might, one last thing. Thank you to Fred and to Norm for being the co-signers on the letters that will go out to the short list, the list of 2,200 on the endowment.
Still working on my first 480.
Appreciate you being willing to make the ask. So great, Sharon.
Great, thank you.
Good. Now let's just make sure Sharon emailed out the material she's going to be presenting here in live, so that those of you on the phone can follow along.
And everything was in the packets that Nick sent out. It's just except for I forgot to send in the interview sheet. So we're going to use those too. So, Mr. Chairman, the pleasure we have, did you budget 30 or 45 minutes?
Minimum of 30, maximum of 45.
Okay. Guys, just keep these passing around. These are the interview sheets, if you don't have them. Was it in there? Okay, I wasn't sure. I'm sorry.
That was the same part.
Yeah, she did.
She's down. I'm going to use this in a bit, so just stick it
there. She only needs 19 now.
Okay. So what I'd like to do then, in the interest of time, is instead of going through the PowerPoint slide again, I wanted to remind everybody that we did focus on this at our last board meeting. So does everybody, I'd like you to pull out the PowerPoint presentation, and I'm just going to reference a couple of the slides. Everybody find it?
Good.
Because and again, it's,
yeah,
it's
Sharon.
It's colored and it was in your stack that Nick gave you.
I just want to confirm, she's got great projection here in the room. Can you all hear her on the phone? Ed, Norm, Gary?
We can hear her fairly well. At least I can.
Why don't you stand in front of the, there, right there?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm
good.
Sorry, guys, I have my back to you. That drives me crazy. Okay. All right. So I just want to remind you why it's important and what we're doing, is we got to do this for the mission. The only way the foundation is going to be self-sustaining and supplement the license plate money is we got to get out there and we got to engage Oregonians, right? That's what it's all about. It's talking from your heart, and it's to build a strong base of community support, and so you guys have diversified revenue. So 10 years from now, whoever your leadership is that's sitting here, they're going to be going, yay, I'm glad they did what they did. So that's why we're doing that. I think we all know why people give. And we also, I want to remind you that we want to treat people like people and not a pocketbook, okay? We're not checkbooks. People give to people. And why do people not give? Frankie just had a classic example. Somebody wanted to know more, but we, you know, we weren't asking them. We just, you know, you sit down and you tell people your story, and more than likely, especially with this, you know, your close-knit group of people, people are passionate about this, and they will support you. So what I'd like you to do now is I want you to all be reminded of why you are serving on this board. So please kindly just work with the person next to you. And those of you on the phone, I think you guys can work with each other. I want you to turn to each other and talk, just a couple minutes, talk about why you serve on this board. What are you passionate about?
I don't think we can do it on the phone.
You guys can't talk to each other?
Yeah, you're with Fred.
Okay, Fred, or Norm, I'll work with you. Go ahead, you guys. Just turn to each other. And you got to
start kind of working on this?
No,
or, no.
No, just talk from your heart. Talk from your heart. Why do you serve on this board? Norm, you want to talk to me?
Well, not over the speakerphone. I can deliver it to everybody else.
Okay. Anybody else want to talk to me?
What's the assignment again?
Fall in love with the people in the building.
Why do you serve on the board?
Oh, yeah, I like
why do you serve on the board?
As I was explaining, there's just seemed in my various roles, both in the building and out of the building, there's always a need. And the way to have an impact on the need is to be present and to help. So that's why.
All right. Norm, you want to share with us why you serve on the board?
I think it keeps me connected to a group of people that have always been not only important to the state, but important to me personally, and I love the connection, but the broader picture is that connection is really, the building is the metaphor for the state of Oregon, and if we care for our state, we care for this building.
Vern?
Well, as Norm just said, you know, I just love the place, I love the people, and it's just been exciting. I'm going to miss that part of it, you know, the people, yeah. The people.
That's great. Did everybody, you on the phone, you can't see this, but when Vern just started doing that, he was using his hands, he was glowing from ear to ear, and he was passionate. I felt his passion running all the way over to me. This is what we're talking about. This is what gets people excited to support the Oregon State Capital Foundation. It's like I told Jenny, the reason I took this contract was not for the money. I knew what I was walking into. This is not an easy gig, guys.
What?
Because I'm a fifth generation Oregonian, and this is kind of my gift back to my state. I am proud of Oregon, and I want to make sure that we continue this in perpetuity for my great nephew or whomever. So, you know, that's why I'm doing it. But, you know, I know in my heart races when I talk about that. That's how passionate I am. And that is where you want to be when you're talking to people. And if you can't, if you don't have that passion running right now, you need to figure out why and get it. Because people will figure it out. Well, no, I mean, you know, even with a fake smile, I mean, people will see through that. So, okay, so our task today is we're actually going to get down and do some work. So you need some tools to make these fundraising calls. And Jenny and I are really adamant about this because we need them too, because we're going to do the same thing when we're meeting with these foundations over the next month. And so we have a case for support. It's a double-sided piece of paper for those of you on the phone. And again, this is in draft stage, meaning, you know, it's not been pretty and laid out yet by a graphic designer. So it's in color and it says Golden Opportunities at the Oregon State Capital Foundation. Everybody find it? In the fundraising world, this is what's called your case for support. The purpose of this document is to have a talking sheet for the volunteer, so when you're meeting with someone, if you lock up or you freeze up or you forget why you're there, you have something you can look at. It's also a leave behind for whomever you're meeting with, and then you can flip it over because, as we know, like when I meet with Norm, he's going to make a commitment right on the spot for $1,000. I can get him to do the check mark and sign off and take it away. So remember, we can work in gifts of stock, we can work in pledges, we can work in cash, we can offer whatever meets the donor's needs to help them give at their capacity. And that's how this form is designed.
A question about the form.
Yes, Norm.
Based on what Tony just said.
Yes.
Someplace in there, if you could.
Yes.
Say stock.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
People might do
and
that.
And actually where that normally goes is down on the bottom. You put that under on the bottom. In the last paragraph, there's verbiage there. We put our, I do this in all my work. And so you put the DTC number, you put all that stuff right
there.
Well,
the reason I was saying the word stock, because somebody might not think of that.
Right. Appreciation. And you can have it up here, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Point well taken. Thank you. But just so you know, ideally, that's how you do it. So, yeah. Okay.
I have to comment on the irony of the Kulongoski picture.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That was a pun by Mary.
Yeah.
Mary Noah works for me, but she's
I thought so.
She sent this back to me. She had Ted's portrait in there. Only these are all placeholders, and she went.
That would be Mary.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of her last hurrah. So I honored her by leaving me until she retires here. So on the front of this document, what's on here? It's who we are. It's got then a quick summary of each of our projects that we're supposedly working on over the next 3 years. And then we've got this budget that we've been working on, trying to put some ballpark numbers so we can talk intelligently when we meet with someone. It's like, well, what do you need the money for? Well, okay, now you know. You've got a budget item, and you've got a little narrative there to support that. So that, you know, that'll help you get started. And then be mindful here. Let's go look at the budget for a minute. See where it says Capital Gateway Project and Programs, $740,000? Well, remember, that's money you've raised. So when we're talking about $1.14 million, we don't need to raise $1.14 because we've already got $740,000 committed. And so, again, this is a leveraging of money. You know, it's a diversification of your revenue and the leveraging. So that's why that's worded like that. So this is a key tool of the trade. I have found it works well, you know, because, again, you can use it or you don't have to use it when you meet with someone, but you just keep them in your, you know, your folder or your folder and you stick it in your pocket. The point is you have a little tool in case you feel like you need it when you're meeting with someone. Then another key tool that we have developed for you, it's called an interview sheet. And again, you don't need to use this, but what I have found is often when volunteers haven't been active fundraisers for an organization, they forget how to kind of go through the question, you know, how to engage someone in a conversation with broad, open-minded questions. And so that's what this is prepared for you. And again, this isn't for you to sit there and go, you know, and talk word for word through this, but you again can have it on your little portfolio sheet when you go in, hold it in your lap, and you know, and you can even tell somebody, hey, I'm nervous. I'm nervous as I'll get out being here. Do you mind if I take notes? It's okay, just you're a human being. So nobody expects you to come in, you know, being a polished salesperson, because that's not who you are. And then, so there's a list of questions, and the questions are designed to get, it's a transition. So remember, when you go to meet with someone, they're either, you know, say you're an attorney and you're reviewing a law case, and then Fred pops in for 30 minutes, you need to get their head quickly into us. And so that's how this is designed to do that, to get their brain to start to transition and think about their personal experiences at the Capital Foundation. Then they start getting in there, then they start opening up, and then they start thinking and talking and sharing invaluable information that helps us be a successful and a better organization, and how we can then engage our donors or our, you know, our stakeholders. So does that make sense to everybody? Okay, and then just the last page, I was removing any barrier you might have. The last page is actually a script for you to use if you're gonna call somebody or email them because you want to meet with them, okay? So it's pretty much a no-brainer, and I emailed this to you in a Word document so you can cut and paste and do what you want with it. All right, so those are the tools of the trade. Now what I'd like you to do is we actually need to do some practicing here. I told Fred we were not going to have me talking to you. We are going to be participatory. So we are going to break into Fred.
Well, I just let's figure out how to accommodate the three gentlemen on the phone, right? And maybe they want to take a break or
okay.
come back. When
they,
will
they
we?
They can't talk to each other, right? Norm, you guys can't just role play.
Well, I just think it'd be confusing to all of you if we were having a conversation on the speakerphone.
Well, except
you can just mute it.
We're going to mute it. That's what I was going to do, Norm.
But then they still can talk to each other if we.
And
mute.
You guys can talk to each other, and then these guys are going to break into groups of three, and they won't be listening to you anyway. This is a role playing exercise. You guys game, or you want to take a break and disappear and come back in 10?
I'll give it a try.
Okay.
All right, Nick, so, do you know how to mute this?
Okay, so but before you mute, let me give you the directions.
Okay.
So if we could, please, I'll just let you guys stay where you are. And again, take your chairs and go into groups of three, okay? So we've got one group here, and then you guys are a group, and then you guys are a group, and
four.
You guys are a group, and Jenny, you wanna join them? Okay, all right, and then you three on the phone. One of you is gonna play the role of board member, one of you is Johnny Megabucks, it's whoever you're being called, you know, the person's being called upon, and then the third person is the observer. So what I want you to do is I want you to actually try making a call on someone. And don't worry about assumptions or anything like that. Just get into the actual conversation with them, because that's really where you get your experience. And we'll do that for about 5 minutes, and then I'll have you stop. And then I want you to share with each other, the observer and the three of you guys, talk about the experience. And then we'll come back
Sharon,
with a larger group.
Sharon, this is Ed. I have a question for you.
Yes.
You said you had a resource, like a pitch sheet that you were showing to the
yes.
folks there in the room. Was that
yes,
it was also distributed beforehand?
It was, you mean the case for support or the interview questions?
The interview questions.
Yeah, I emailed those out yesterday afternoon late, Ed. They were not
okay.
in the original board packets, and I didn't realize that till last night when I was getting ready
about
for
about 6
meeting.
O'clock, 5:30 when it went out.
Make sure these
okay.
are on the list.
Yeah.
I will.
It's called interview. And if not, you know how to do it, Ed. You just talk from your heart.
Yeah.
Just fake it. Okay? So we'll mute. And you guys, the three of you, I'll let you guys talk and figure out your
yeah.
roles and go for it. Okay?
You got it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay?
You're a good observer.
I'm
okay.
a good observer.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I think you might want to be the rich guy.
No.
I'll be the rich guy.
Okay.
So you're the board member.
I've
you're being called upon. You're the
sure,
observer.
Actually, you are the
me
so.
Neither.
Oh, I'm the rich.
You get to watch and critique.
Made big bucks, people.
Still there, guys?
Hey, we need to hear the instructions.
Okay.
Are we supposed to be interviewing somebody?
So, to find.
Are you aware, is that a pitch?
You beat a bag.
Oh, yeah, see, I don't do that.
You do whatever.
So just go for the junk.
Yeah, if you want to interview me, that's great.
Yeah, whatever works for you. If you used to, you're with Meg Max.
I don't remember the details. She's going to kick you when she sees you making a lot of facial expressions.
One of the flags is representation out on Wilson Park, the west side of the grounds to the state capitol.
Okay, well, if you want to take notes on how well Norm does asking questions, that would be really great. All right.
How much time do we have?
I bet we have like 5 minutes, maybe.
Just put that on the floor for you. With a flag of each of the 49 sister states. A very dramatic representation
of our years ago when I served in the legislature.
Oh, absolutely. How are you, Norm?
I'm great. I'm calling you because of that time that I was serving in service now. I hope you have different opportunities. Perhaps we could schedule a time later.
No, this works fine. I've got a break in the action here.
We didn't have anything to do with that.
Have you ever heard of it?
So let me tell you.
I've heard a little bit about it, but I don't know too much.
And at one point, we also continue to
provide programs
that are represent, because it represents the best.
The old blue gold. Yeah, the old blue gold.
Oh, all right. Well, so we pick that up.
And
so
that,
I can get one.
You can get one. Like that.
I mean, I'm supposed to be asking questions. I want you to think about what you think the foundation is.
It all goes to the foundation.
It all
goes to the foundation.
Okay. So it goes to history.
So what do you do with that money?
You know, I don't
so
know.
That's the money that we set out.
Well,
I'd love to. I have a real quick question. What is the new Capitol building?
There's programs that we now have.
Well, let's see.
Well, it looks right like now, you know, like,
we need over $1 million in the next year.
That sounds like a good idea, because I think the Capitol is a beautiful building, and I love it to pieces. We had, 78th anniversary here a couple years ago.
A nice sheet. The Jewish Human Resources.
Oh, okay.
Corporate sponsors always welcome.
And you're telling me to take care of the Capitol building, but my taxes do that. The other big problem that we've been trying to make a capital safe when we have
I've been to a couple of the birthday parties and the hello again party. I usually go to that.
One of my favorites is just being in the Capitol when it's decorated.
You can give us shares in your
license plate money.
I mentioned that there's going to be some work done. This is
and there, can you ask this person?
Yeah, I think
rebuilding as part of
that. At least
we also
there's an opportunity.
There's
not so very old. They actually honor
the history of the Oregon Capitol. So,
okay, guys, time to start evaluating each other.
Playing the history as well as having people participate in understanding what those are.
But you've been there, yeah.
Oh, that's great. I think the history part of the Capitol is what I've always been interested in. I've always felt that it's a place where you can learn how government works.
I consult my list of questions.
Tell me one of your envelopes. He didn't have one.
So,
what do you do? And you know, yeah. And he said,
yeah, I've got that on one of my older cars, actually.
Right then, from him. He's a nice guy.
Got any friends you want to give these back? Yeah.
Right.
I don't have one.
So what about you and your son?
Well, if I were to make a contribution, could I earmark it for something like enhancing the historic interpretation of the Capitol or something like that? That would be something I might be interested in.
Okay, guys, time to wrap it up. You guys ready to wrap up?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
You're in wrap up.
Okay.
Hey, good job, Norm.
Yeah. Can we come back together?
Him, Jenny, all right, people are energized. This is great.
Great. Let's start with on the phone here. What did you guys, what was your takeaway on that?
I can do that. So I'm not going to ask a question yet.
Okay. You go, Gary. What do you say? Gary's going to ask
a question. Well, Gary is our critic. We'll let him report.
Yeah, Gary's going to report.
You couldn't get a better critic, could you?
Well, the role players, Ed and Norm, did an outstanding job. The question that I have is, and I probably ought to know this answer, but I don't. Norm, were you using a list of items off the stuff that was sent to us by mail, or did those questions just come out of your head, or comments just come out?
I basically embellished on the outline that Sharon provided.
So there was, okay, because I wanted to say that I thought the way it progressed that the items came through really well, talking about the personal commitment by you and your spouse and the function of the Oregon State Capitol Foundation, participation in Oregon State history through the activities of the foundation. I thought the way you approached it too, by saying, do any of these items catch your interest when you got into the question about dedicating the contribution? Those were all really great things, and it flowed really well and came across very good, I thought. I need to know a little bit more from the group about what happens when somebody does approach you about designating their contribution for a specific purpose and how we are intending to handle that.
Okay, that's
the only negative I could find in the conversation was, and Ed picked right up on it, was when you said new Capitol building, the comment came across to me in the beginning as that we were supporting the construction of a new Capitol building. And Ed questioned you on that and straightened it out. But I think we've got to be careful when we talk about the building and that project.
Yes. So my short-term answer to everybody on the board is, you're better off getting unrestricted gifts if you can, but don't do it at the cost of losing a gift. So if you're not sure, basically anything that's listed on this case for support, someone could restrict their gift to that broad of a level. If it gets more specific than that, usually the best thing to do for a board member to say is, gee, John, thank you so much for your interest in buying new statues for the men's restroom. let me go back and meet with the development committee and the facility committee to see if there's an opportunity for that. You know, and then it keeps the door open, it keeps them happy, and it lets us all work together.
Well, there is a restroom on the third floor that needs a little help.
That's where my designated contribution
is. I thought you'd appreciate that.
Well, you've been contributing regularly there.
Okay, so that's how I would deal with that. And that's why, the form is written the way it is on the back. It's kind of got, it's kind of generic, but you want to just kind of leave the door open. Because usually if someone's going to restrict their gift, it's going to take more than one conversation anyway. But if it's like for the endowment fund or something, they can just write in endowment fund or whatever. That's fine.
Hmm? Just looking at the form.
I think that's really great advice. And one of the things that that Gary touched on that Norm did really well is right off the bat, he made his phone call, his contact, really personal by talking to me about his time in the legislature, long time no see, getting right to the point after that. And then he did say also that he and his bride are making their personal contribution. He didn't go into the details, but he did touch on that. It's like, hey, I'm doing my part. So, he didn't make the ask at that point, but definitely as a person on the other end of the phone, I knew I was going to be asked. So I broached the subject myself without even him asking me for the money. So that worked out fine.
Yeah, and sometimes people will do that, and sometimes they won't. And again, this is all about relationships. So if you know the person you're meeting with, you may know that ahead of time. You know, it's a chip for a chit, or that you owe them one or whatever. That's not uncommon. But there's going to be other times you're going to meet somebody that you're telling them. You're just going to come in and get their thoughts and guidance. And then at the end of the conversation with them, hopefully, you're leaving there with an understanding of how you're going to follow up with them. Meaning that I don't know how many of you guys had time today, that you actually got a gift commitment out of somebody, but my guess is in all my years of fundraising, that's less than 50% of the time. The key is how you agree you're going to follow up with them, and then you do. So, I may say, oh, I don't know, Norm, I can't make the gift commitment today. I got to go check with my spouse at dinner tonight, or I got to meet with our attorney or whatever. I check back with me in a month or, whatever. And then, get those notes to us and we'll help manage all this for you. I mean, this is all important stuff that you're going to glean out of the meeting. So I'd like to get any more comments from anybody else in here that was doing your role play. Were there any ahas? Or things you observe?
Well, one thing we talked about, right? Notice was be careful the terminology you use. Reference was made to the Gateway Project,
yes,
which wouldn't mean a thing to somebody else. Right. And we live with those kinds of things, but they've never heard of it. So kind of watch your terminology.
That's very appropriate. Mm-hmm. Yes. So again, keeping it down to the fifth or eighth grade level, and again, that's not meant to be rude. It's meant that we're insiders and we all talk in our own institutional jargon. So we have to be very mindful of that.
So I was Miss Richie Rich.
Rich?
I was Miss Richie Rich. And so I asked Fred, who was making the pitch, I said, so how much do you want? And at first he kind of went, I didn't expect that question, he'd say that, but anyway, but then he got good, and he said, I said, how much do you want for my company? And he said, $10,000, if that's, if that's something you could consider. And he said, and if you could do it for multiple years, say 15, that would be great. If not, we can come back and talk to you again next year.
Yeah.
So, good. I mean, so he initially wasn't ready, but he got ready.
Oh. Right. So.
Well, I think we'd be prepared. We'd have a little background of some estimate of what we could
ask them for.
What a healthy ask would be. And then.
And that's my job, or whoever's staffing you. That's what we call staffing the campaign or your support, is when you're going to meet with somebody, assuming it's a planned meeting, I will do the research, or you can do the research, but there are certain trends that we can see on, if it's a corporate giving program, what they support, how much they give. And then if you don't know, a great spin back is just, well, Joan, what would be a meaningful gift for your corporation to the state of Oregon?
Okay, good.
Just throw it right back at them.
And the multiple year thing, is that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because what you're going to find is in a lot of, with individuals that are giving large, significant gifts, because that means it's impacting actually their financial statements. They may need a year or so to ramp up and get ready to be able to do that. Or when you meet with a corporation, you're right in the middle of their two budget cycles. And if you can wait then until next year, you might get a gift that's twice that size.
Well, I have a question then on the on the founder, the 20 founders you're after.
Oh, for the endowment campaign?
Yeah, for that campaign. If someone said, I can give you $500 now and $500 January 1st next year,
sure.
Would they be a founder?
Sure. You mean with the endowment?
Yeah, with the endowment that Jenny was talking about.
Yeah, because they made the gift commitment now.
Yeah.
It's called pledge. It might be a pledge. It's called the pledge.
Yeah.
And as long as, you know, we can count it and honor it within a certain time frame. Yeah, I mean, in a campaign cycle, if you have a commitment. So they don't have to have made the payment, but they have to have made the commitment that's called an auditable document, and that requires a signature.
Okay. Yeah.
When we're talking to big bucks folks like this, and they ask the question of how much, should we give them that upper level, you know, to be a golden pioneer?
Yes.
This is what we would be asking. So you're starting high and.
Well, sure. Okay. You know, because the worst thing you can do is you never offend somebody by asking them for too much money. You do offend somebody, and I'm sure Norm can tell you stories like this too. If you don't ask somebody for enough.
Right.
And then. I say, okay, and then I want to wrap this up in honoring the time. I want to make sure that each of you as board members, you cannot ask for somebody else's support until you've made your own personal commitment. So if you haven't had an opportunity to do that, please do that annually to this organization. Please, Jerry.
Well, I would just like to add, I think we have to keep in mind always that we're very knowledgeable about this building and we all have our own passion about it, but the majority of the companies and individuals out there don't. They don't know diddly squat what goes on in here, nor do they care. And I think that personal story up front is essential to open the door and begin to make them understand what we're trying to do.
Yes, and you're
because they're going to say, well, I pay taxes.
Yes.
And she was big bucks and she did say that.
Well, right. You know, and this is talking about the tax dollar and this is the leveraging. And this is a private sector effort, you know, that we're leveraging with the public. And you know, but again, your job's not to argue with anybody. It's listen, honor what they're saying, and if they ask for information, let us know and we'll get it to them. But don't argue. It's not worth it.
Fred did a good job of pointing out that it was enhancing.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't maintenance of the building.
Yeah, this is over and above your tax dollar. So, good. Any other questions before we close today?
Frankie?
Yeah. You have a perfect look.
We had questions.
Okay.
And we kind of came up with the idea that it would depend on our relationship.
Yes.
And I, for instance, would invite the person to the Capitol.
Yes.
After asking them, have you visited the Oregon State Capitol lately? And then I would help them love the building.
That's your passion. Yeah, because Frankie, I mean, you know,
that's
you
my
walk
passion.
In here and it's your passion. But see, for somebody else, like with me, when I know one of the things I was walking around and I brought my mom here. And she started reminiscing about this after church on Sundays or some night. They used to go to the concerts out here on the plaza. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what she did as a young woman. She's like 78 now. So, you know, in that period of time, that's what she started talking about. I didn't even ask her. She just, out it came. So.
Well, you let her know we're trying to get those concerts back.
Oh, I already told her.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you give her one of those forms?
I need them after this. We'll see how much money I can get from
it. Right, I had one question, Sharon. Yeah. Thank you. The legacy issue, we're not really going to be emphasizing in this phase wills and bequests, or are we?
You know,
it's an option, I know.
Okay,
but
now understand, if you look at research, nobody wants to talk about legacies and bequests because it means we have to talk about dying. We're all in denial of that. So even in the marketing materials, the latest trends, and I've been in workshops on this all over the country actually in the last year, is that you talk about joining your friends and perpetuating the mission of the organization. And you know, and then that's how people start doing that. So people don't usually leave you a gift in their will unless they're giving to you when they're alive anyway. I mean, it's very rare. It'll be more, but you know, it's that $25 annual donor that's gonna leave you $10,000 in their will. So, you know, it's all about that relationship building and
right.
the messaging. And you're going to see that messaging on the form. You're going to see it in the newsletter. You're going to see it everywhere. And things like where Norm and his bride are sharing their story in the newsletter. It's all about giving today and giving tomorrow. So in the new newsletter even, you got the obituaries, and then you talk about leaving a legacy gift in honor of someone or your own personal gift when you're gone. So, you know, you have to do it in that context. All right, you guys, we've used up our time. Good job. And
thank you.
We look forward
very
to raising
helpful.
More money together.
Great. Thank you, Sharon. Yes, and very energizing. I really appreciate everybody's participation, not just now, but as we embark on this campaign. It's what we do. I sent a note to our legislator members that we're going to invite them for lunch and that we will talk about mostly governance, legislative update, the building committee, and the Capitol History Gateway from noon to one, so that if they can join us, they'd get the most information that relevant to their support of our endeavors. Madam Cease.
Chair, I noticed that Jenny is not here. Might she have gone up to the Senate to see if
our... No, she had a conference call at 11, and I excused her.
I understand. We have two bills
yes.
on the floor of the Senate.
Senator Chris Edwards is carrying our license plate bill today
Who's
on the Senate
it,
floor, Chris Edwards. And Ted Ferrioli is carrying our reorganization bill on the Senate floor today.
Which is second side
for the reorg bill for 2037,
and
A engrossed.
The
and the first side for 472, the license plate bill.
Converts everything.
Collapses to one order.
Well, no. 2037 is not engrossed. It has not had necessitated any amendments. The reorg bill, the license plate bill, was amended in Senate Finance to give us general use of the proceeds of the license plate. Should that pass this morning and pass successfully in the House, I think I would ask for an opinion probably from Miller Nash and not, or maybe Legislative Council, on whether that applies to the current the proceeds of the first 40,000 plates as well. Just a issue that I've been thinking of, so that we have some more flexibility with the budget. I'm assuming it would, but I don't want to presume. So, but no, that's not where Ginny is right now. If anyone wants to watch the floor proceedings, I didn't look at their schedule, but I will be sending notes of thanks to our carriers. After today, should they be successful, and I suspect they will.
Successful.
The reorg bill passed the House by the way, and this is part of Ginny's legislative update, 58-0. Okay, so now Gary, I think you were on the phone when I announced Paul Hanneman's resignation. Gary.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Turn him on for Gary.
Boy, Ed comes through loud and clear, and Gary, you're a little faint.
Here's some more.
Turn him up.
Well, Gary would be here in person.
Narcotics.
Yes. Gary's shoulder surgery was just last week, and he's still
really?
Not able to drive, and he's probably still in a lot of discomfort. So he's.
Oh, no, it's just inconvenient.
Right. So, Gary, nominations committee report.
Well, you've all received a copy of it. I'm assuming that you've got a copy of it in your packet.
Yep.
And the it does not have anything to do with Paul Hanneman's announcement yesterday. We'll just treat that as a vacancy and deal with it in the future. But the report, as included in your packets, was approved by the executive committee at the meeting on April 1st. And so it is presented to you today for your approval as it stands.
All right.
Do you need me to go over it by individual item?
Well, let's do that. Let's take it in three parts.
Oh, hang on a second. The tough part is, you know, using a mouse when you got your...
Well, actually, four
right
parts. I think.
Bound to your body.
I don't think we need to divide the questions by individuals.
Say that again?
Well, you probably don't, I don't think we need to divide the question by each individual nominee. But let's just...
No, okay, well then, there is a group of folks whose terms expire June 30th of this year that have indicated their desire to be reappointed. They are Jade Seath, Norm Smith, Jerry Thompson, Fred Bonatta, and myself. And so the first item of business would be to approve the reappointment of those five individuals for terms expiring on June 30th, 2019.
Okay. Mr. Wilhelms has made that motion. Is there any discussion? I would just say I'm very grateful for each of you for renewing, because you each are vitally important to the success of this organization. And hearing no objection, you are so renominated.
Thank you. The next item would be to appoint two new individuals to fill vacancies, and their terms would be become effective July 1, 2015, and would go through June 30, 2019. Those individuals are Jason Atkinson and Julia Brim Edwards.
Very good. Any discussion? That's. I see some thumbs ups and some enthusiastic nods, and I.
I have a little discussion myself, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed, Gary.
We decided that we were going to require a statement of interest. An appointment form from future appointees. Now, I don't know that we ever officially built that into our rules, so I have bent the rules a little bit in that I have personally not received back a statement of interest form from either of these candidates. And Nick, have you received anything in the office? Because it does give the office address to return the form.
No, I have not received anything.
Okay. So they have not submitted the statement of interest form that we decided we wanted to require. But having said that, when we decided we wanted to do that, I don't believe we ever totally formalized it by putting it in the rules.
Probably
so
not.
I have chosen to ignore it in this case, and that's the story.
Right. Do you want a ruling from the chair? Does anyone want to discuss how formal we want to be in this regard? Gary's had very productive conversations with each of these nominees, mm-hmm. and they're both enthusiastic and both regret that they weren't able to be here today. Their appointments must be formally approved by the Legislative Administration Committee. We don't know if they'll meet before sine die, and our next meeting is in June. They wouldn't be voting members in any case until our October meeting, or after July 1. But as is our practice, they are welcome to join and participate, just not vote. I'd like to put them both to work promptly. It's that said, Nick, you had the...
Heather let me know that Jason sent us an email yesterday, and it looks like he has the interest form and other documents in the email. So we did receive something from him.
Okay. Gary, did you hear that?
I've gone back to them and suggested that they renew their efforts on the form. But, you know, we've existed for as long as we've existed without this form. And these two people were actually sought out by us. And so I am not proposing that there be any question over their proposed nomination at all. I am strongly supporting their nomination.
Let me say that I think my recollection is that we approved the form, but we did not require it. And so we welcome their input in a response, written response, but we would, without reservation, nominate them today. Ms. Plank.
Gary, did I understand you to say you did go back and ask for it? Sounds like Jason responded and you asked Ms.
Well, Bennett. I went back with an email and said, you know, basically as a reminder,
okay.
You owe us this.
That
come
sounds
on.
Great. They'll get
right.
it done.
And I think
if their schedules have been such that I know it's probably an imposition on their time, but
Yeah, I think my understanding was that Julie is like out of the country, at least out of town right now.
Yeah, she told us that she said she would not be able to be at this meeting.
Right.
Because of that.
Right.
But that her calendar was going to clear up some, and she would be able to. She thought participate.
Okay. So any other comments? Herb,
do you have any thoughts for committee assignments for those?
Well, I do, but I need to confer with them. I've talked to one committee chair already this morning.
Our bill just passed in the Senate.
Which one?
Which one? Votes 472.
472.
How many votes?
30.
That's enough.
Yeah.
I was worried there for a minute.
Oh. Frankie, what was the count? Do you know?
30.
Oh. Okay. I guess Kevin and Marina may be coming shortly, so we'll welcome them when they get here. Okay, the motion is to elect Julia Brim Edwards, and well, we nominate, LAC confirms, Julia Brim Edwards and Jason Atkinson to the foundation membership. Any objections? Hearing none. Great additions.
Atkinson has a movie that he's going to show at the Elsinore.
On the 21st.
Really?
The Capitol one that
no,
he did?
It's on,
no, it's his.
Klamath.
His
Oh, the Klamath Water.
Cool. Yeah. I think everybody's invited.
They are.
Is there an email to that effect? Or
Everyone is. It's free. And I can forward the email that went out to the Capitol Club, I think.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Will we get some information on that then?
Yes, is there some way to get information on that, Frankie? Or
AP said she'd send it out.
Yeah. AP, great, thanks.
AP will send it out to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vern and I both have some hearing deficiencies. So.
What'd you say?
Yeah. All right. Gary, let's go to item three.
All right, item three. Is the recommendation by the subcommittee to grant emeritus status to the formerly honorable Vern Duncan.
Always on
him. Active membership on the foundation will end with the expiration of his current term on June 30th, 2015, and he chooses not to be reappointed. So we strongly encourage an aye vote. I know it's going to be tough for some of you.
I abstain.
For Vern Duncan's.
That's the
Gary, most. This is Norm.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I know I was on the committee, and it is only recently occurred to me that I might offer this as a friendly amendment. But with Vern in the room, if it gets voted down, I know he'll feel awful. But it seems to me, as I recall, he was our first chair. Is that right?
That's right.
I believe that's correct.
That's right.
And he.
So,
he
although I wouldn't.
Yes, Norm, that's true.
For everyone who has ever been chair, but it sure seems to me like he could be chairman emeritus.
Is that a friendly amendment, Mr. Wilhelms? Mr. Wilhelms?
Well, so long as it doesn't give him any power.
You know, I want to take back that abstention.
Mr. Chair.
Former chair sees.
Senator Duncan and Frankie Bell can correct me, but I believe it was his bill that created the State Capitol Foundation.
That is right.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to hold that against him. All right, what's the chief sponsor? Well, Mr. Duncan, do you have any response prior to your abstention vote? Abstemious.
Well, you know, I love this committee, and, you know, you hate to go. But it's time to go. You know, you need some new young blood and people to replace me, and I realize that. So I think it's time to go. But I will love this foundation until the day I die. You probably won't get any money from when I die, but anyhow, it's been a great experience. And as I said, you know, when I think of those financial reports, oh, we got $600. How should we spend that? You know, it's come a long way, and it's just exciting as all get out to see you talking about $1 million and and the things that are happening. It's just, you know, look at the fantastic people we've had through the years, you know, Frank Bronner and all that. I just could name many, many people who've really made it happen, and I've been thrilled to be a part of it. And I was telling Joan, you know, you've come a long ways from those days when we used to hold our meetings down at Norma's
beach house
down on the coast, and we sit around telling old stories over and over and over. But it's become a very sophisticated group, and I'm really proud of it and proud to have been a part of it and look forward to being an emeritus, whatever.
Jane.
That means you're old, and I do qualify.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just think it's fair game to have the founder be put on the founder's ask list.
Good for you, Jane.
I have already done that.
Oh. All right, Joan.
And I just wanted to, depending on how this vote goes,
I'll leave the room.
I just wanted to make clear that emeritus members should receive notice of our meetings, and you're always welcome to join us.
And I would just add to that that you ain't emeritus till June 30. So you, and Vern's already promised he'll attend and participate fully in the June meeting. All right.
How many original Jerry. Members do we still have left on the foundation?
Frankie's our resident provocateur and historian.
Yeah.
Talk next year.
Yeah, but you were original member, Tony.
She was.
You,
no.
You were?
No.
Can I have 2 minutes? I can go get the original appointment letter and read it.
No, that's fine. I think it's good for us to start to make sure that we keep track of our own history.
You know, I sat here, Mr. Chair, and made a little note. I'm going to suggest to Nick that he add an additional section here called historical facts. And yeah. I was just going through the Senate bill itself. The original members, so some of those, because there's some interesting people.
And the original members all had to fill out a form expressing the interest in the building, which was
Do we have anyone have a copy of that form? Is it in the files? Nick will look, or Heather, thank you. All right, that is the motion before us. Any other comments? Thank you, Mr. Duncan, for your wise words. Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, Chair Emeritus Duncan, duly noted.
I'm on.
Would you like to hear the original appointees?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, it's dated March 26, 1998. We are pleased to write to you about the Rick State Capital Foundation and where we are in the process of appointing members of the foundation. Once again, thank you for your interest in serving. The Legislative Administration Committee met on March 11th and accepted as nominees for the following 14 people as potential foundation members. And these people, I believe, were all ultimately approved and received an individual letter. The people were Frankie Bell, Frank Bronner, Larry Campbell, Bev Carno, Mark Hatfield, Bill Lang, Jed Orloff, Norma Paulus, Norm Smith, Jerry Thompson, Jill Thorne, Tony Van Vliet, Fred Van Atta, yours truly.
Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you. Awesome group. And glad for those who are still participating, lo these many years later. Although we've invited legislators over the lunch hour, and we do want them to be apprised of progress on the renovation project. We also understand that Mr. Hayden and Ms. Creswell's schedule is such that they're here now and they ain't going to be here later, and I think we'll take them up now. And I want to, for those of you who have not met Marina Creswell, she is the new project manager, and I think, Kevin, you can do the honors of apprising the rest of us of her responsibilities and proficiencies. And so, Ed, we're going to go to the building, and Gary, we're going to go to the building committee report, and then we'll take up communications committee. All right. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity, as always, to come in, and for my part, although you've heard reports from me in the past how the capital renovation project has been going. It's my pleasure, as Chair Neal said, to introduce Marina Cresswell, who is the project director and has taken over the mantle of responsibility to keep this project moving forward and to do a much better job than I've been pushing along all along. So I will turn it over to her to just give you a quick update on what we're doing right now.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a heavy mantle, and you'll note that his shoulders are broader than mine. So I've been working very hard to get up to speed on everything, and there's certainly a lot of activity going on in the project team right now, though I don't think that it's obvious to the occupants of the building for the most part. We are in sort of our starting push for construction documents. We call them implementation documents, and we're about 30% through those documents. We're working now on getting to our 60% mark. So we will be ready for construction on time. We're working very closely with the construction contractor that's already on board to identify, I think, not just the best way to complete the work that we're designing, but also identify if there are possible improvements to the scope of work, if there are better ways to do things. We're doing a lot of kind of nitty-gritty details of really starting to understand where all the buried utilities are on the site, of which there are many, and they go to all kinds of places. It's not exciting work for most people. It's turned out to be very exciting for us because we've learned a lot that we didn't know about. And as part of going through all of those practical details of the design, talking through the construction sequencing, we're also refining our project costs and understanding those better as well. So we are we will be doing a presentation on May 8th in front of the Capital Construction Subcommittee. And prior to that presentation, we will be meeting with the members of the subcommittee if they wish. We're offering to meet with them, kind of brief them a little bit on the project, and provide them with a project budget number. I cannot provide that today at this time. We're still, although we have numbers, we're still kind of working through what components need to show up in which categories as far as how we present that. So we do expect to have that shortly, and we expect to begin our briefings with those members next week.
Good. Gary, do you have any comments? Gary, Wilhelms.
No, I just I'm happy it's progressing, and I'm anxiously awaiting the number.
As everyone is.
I don't know how you're going to release the number exactly, okay? But I'd like it to be clear, at least if it can't be publicly clear, it could be privately clear as to whether the number.
Yeah, I think that's a question that a lot of people have. And so the discussion we're having right now is how to present the information so that you can understand the full cost of the project, including the design phase appropriation as well as what we anticipate for the construction phase, and also taking into consideration other funds that were utilized outside of the design phase bond funds. So there were some general funds used for the project, and we want to make sure that we account for those funds as well as we're talking about the total project cost. It's just a question of how, you know, how we present that on the page and really be able to show the true cost as well as, you know, what we've spent of the design phase bonds and how we're moving forward in the construction phase and how that breaks down for the biennial budget for 15-17. So we have the numbers. It's really just a question of how we present them, how we show them.
Mm-hmm. What's the implications? Are there commitment? Is you said general fund dollars, and is that this current biennium or?
Yeah, it's this current biennium. It's the one that we're in currently. We're using some general fund dollars to pay to have an option on the PUC building, the 550 building, as our temporary location site, to ensure that DAS does not move people into it before we can actually have a lease agreement. So, you know, as part of that, we've got general fund dollars.
Okay, Jane.
Thank you. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. I assume you're talking about the design phase money being the $34.5 million that was approved last session.
That's correct.
That was, okay. So the question is that going to be stuck into what's being asked for in capital construction going out for the next part? Or
no, it's really just making sure that people know where all the money went. So that we account for all the funding that we've been given. It's really just, it's not about what we ask for in the next biennium, though we'll certainly have that as well. It's just making sure that nobody feels like we're trying to, you know, slide something under the rug. You know, we want to be really, you know, open and transparent about what we've spent on the project and what we anticipate spending moving forward.
Go.
There's two sides to that. One of them is to make sure that, you know, we're talking about what the total project cost is. But another one is, I know some members have mentioned that they probably will not support the project. And when I raised the question about, yeah, well, you've already, you know, authorized $34.5 million, which probably might have been all we spent, they come back and said, yeah, but that's just sunk cost. I respect their opinion, and that's true at some cost, but I want to be able to make sure that people know if they walk away from this project or delay it, that we do have $34.5 million that's been expended or is, you know, laying on the table. And I, you know, I just, the discussion of total openness on this project has got some detail in it. Most people in the public aren't going to know or care about, but people in the building sure as hell do.
Thank you, Gary. And before I call on, recognize Joan, I want to just let you know that several of us will be calling you, Gary, after the fund board meeting. It won't be for the record because it won't be a committee meeting or a foundation meeting, but to talk about the strategy of education and advocacy for the renovation project, knowing that we're fast approaching figures and the capital construction subcommittee hearing.
Are we going to talk any more about advocacy during this meeting?
We certainly can, but...
I just have a brief comment, because the strategy, I still think that our strategy, our basic strategy to move forward and contact all 90 legislators is sound, and that's what we need to do. And everybody knows what their assignments are. And I've started to get feedback from some members of the foundation, and that's good. But it's very important that we get these legislators, make contact with them, and we assess where they are, either pro, con, or I need more information. We just need to get that done. In my opinion, we need to get that done before we can really move forward with a sound education program beyond this.
Right. But we also need to consider what we do outside this building to alert the public, general public, about the dire consequences of this building crumbling with government with it. Joan. Gary, Joan's been wanting to talk.
I'm sorry I wasn't here when you guys started. Do we have a bill number for capital construction? When I was setting up my appointments, one of the staffers asked me for a bill number, and I searched around a little bit, but it's 5,000 something is all I know.
I don't have that bill number just yet. I hadn't looked at it, but I'm sure that it's sitting out there and
could somebody give us that, because it, I mean, the staffer was trying to do his work, and so he wanted to know what the bill was. And the one that I found, I couldn't tell if that was the bill because, of course, it's not filled out yet.
Right.
But when if you could at least. At least you could, at least if you could give us the bill number, I can make the staff person happy, and maybe help educate them about how he was a
new
staffer with a new member, and so maybe I can provide some education about how the process works.
Right.
And then my other question, and I don't know if we want to talk about this or not, is I think information about what's happening with schools. I hear that one as a concern that people have. So what's the answer, best answer?
That's what we're going to talk about after the fund meeting is one of the items, because we just need to do more research and talk to the folks that know, and we haven't
yet. Okay, because I think it would help all of us in our meetings to
know
what the answer is to that. I mean, Senator Courtney has a proposal for...
As does Senator Farioli...
To fund, to do some earthquake retrofit in some schools, and I can't remember. I'm not even going to throw a number out because I'm not sure it's
right. That's not. Well, we're not there yet. That's what we need to figure out.
Okay.
Vern.
Mr. Chair, you talked about the contact with legislators. Has that assignment been made?
Yes.
We do have that. Do we, our own legislators, and where is that?
Gary
sent it out to all members, or? The assignments, Gary?
Assignments were going on at a time that was, it was inappropriate for us to make assignments to Vern Duncan at that time, but Vern was not given any contact.
It was inappropriate to give you assignments then, or otherwise.
Wondering who you're supposed to be contacting, you needn't worry.
I'd be happy to give him some of mine.
But you...
Okay.
Well, if you guys want to work that out,
all right.
Fine with me.
Okay. And do we all know exactly what we're asking the legislators?
First of all, we're giving them a frequently asked questions sheet.
We're doing the frequently asked questions piece that we put together. And at the end of reviewing that or going through it with them, asking whether they're for or against or need more information or don't know or might or whatever, to try to assess what their position is.
Tony.
Others. You're saying, I'm against it, then the gainer is what you say. And then you got the whole other 88 people writing.
All right, Tony.
I met with one of my assignments already, and I handed him this paper, and we talked about it. But his first question was, how much is it?
Right.
And, of course, I said, a lot. Not in here.
Well, my contacts, I found that that may be the first question, but the one that makes their eyes light up is, I'm going to be out of the building for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Money then becomes secondary.
It's better inconvenience for 3 years than dead for eternity.
Yeah, good answer.
You know, if we had anything over a six or plus, this very moment, we would. The message I've gotten from the training that I got last summer, pre-session, and I thought that the legislature did in orientation, was that the information now is that there's no getting out of this building should a major subduction quake occur. And forget, I mean, the best you can do is duck. And these are actually, room 50 has the strongest desks up here. Sharon, you're out of luck.
I'm calling on you.
David.
You're also in phase one. So you're in the safest place in the building right now.
That's right.
Right. Rather, as opposed to upstairs or,
the chambers where the legislature
chambers
when it happens. Perhaps.
Right. And I think that message isn't, they're not getting that. I don't know. They work so hard to get here as elected legislators, and they're not thinking about how they might exit most abruptly in a quake. Vern?
I'm just curious how many here have seen the film. I think Larry Campbell.
Yeah.
Right.
How many have seen that film?
Yeah.
You see that film, you don't want to be in this building.
Right. Okay, Joan.
This is the first I've heard of 3.5 years. I've always questioned whether 3 was too long and whether the contractor will do it sooner, but that's your business and I'll believe you. But have we extended it?
The Master Plan Review Committee report said 42 months. It's 42 months has been the 3.5 years has been the stated number since I've come on board. So
right.
The last 2 years.
And we don't. And because of some of us were at LAC hearings last summer when it became clear that there wasn't going to be approval to proceed with the PUC building preparation until after a decision was made this session for the project. And so that delays even being able to vacate, doesn't it? And yeah,
I think it's helpful to know that while we do expect to be done with our work at the PUC building prior to the short session, we did not have enough time prior to move everybody in and be comfortable that the building would work the way it needs to work for a session. I mean, we know that it's gonna take a little time to get all the tweaks figured out, and the last thing we wanted to do was move everybody in right before session starts and then have a nightmare, right? So, you know, we do anticipate we'll be done with the PUC building prior to the next session, but we want to take that extra time to get the bugs worked out before we move people in and have a little downtime to work out bugs as well.
Frankie?
Isn't there something that can be started while people are still in the building? Isn't there some phase of it that can... I mean, I know you've already done a lot of preparation, but...
Oh, we are absolutely starting work as soon as possible, but there's a significant amount of site work that needs to be done before we actually start on the building itself.
It can't be done with people in the building.
No, at the point where we start to cut utilities off, we need to have people out of the building.
Utilities.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that will really affect more than the third floor men's room.
A lot more signs.
Tony?
Quick comment that remind the legislators that this is our fifth building, that three of them have burnt to the ground. And if we don't do something about this one, it'll fall to the ground. So what's moving to a different building going to cause you?
Right, and I reminded myself just last night thinking about this that we forget, because it was Gary did a great job of making sure, and Kim with the task force, that it's going to cost a lot more to rebuild than to renovate.
Yes.
And if we don't renovate so that we're earthquake resilient, we will have to rebuild. And then the Salem will have a fight with where the capital's going to be, I guess, with Portland and Eugene and Oregon City. And
we can move it back to Oregon City.
Norm. Norm?
Maybe not so obvious a question. I assume the PUC building we're inviting them to go to is already seismically safe and modern and code.
It's in much better condition than this building.
Like 50% better?
I don't have exact numbers, but I can look into it for you. I know that they did a significant amount of work in the 90s.
Okay, good.
To a much safer place.
A temporary but safe haven. Jane.
The reports I've heard back from people have indicated that safety is a top concern of people. I don't know if that was Mr. Meeker's experience, but that's a big one. But for me, I also have to say, I worry that we won't have a government to operate and help rescue people if the legislature can't operate because too many of them are smashed or maimed or whatever. And if there's no governor, it's crushed in the governor's office or crushed in the Secretary of State's office to succeed. How are we going to respond to a major disaster with an 8 or a 9 point earthquake and a tidal wave afterwards if we don't have, if we don't take care of the seat of government where people are operating. And my husband told me, I tried it out on him because he's a former legislator, and he said, well, don't scare him too much. And and so I sort of toned it down, but I'm just sharing with you conversations that I've had with people. And what really concerns me is you know, the safety of the people in the building, whether they're politicians that people don't like or not. It's still where you have to go to solve the problem.
Right. Herb.
In our discussion yesterday with a member who was a no for some other reasons, when we brought that issue up of saying people are going to be looking to this building for help after that earthquake, and if the building isn't here, that's going to be a significant issue.
Right.
And that seemed to resonate with
where
that
is the
point.
Emergency command center? Isn't it out on State Street? And,
yes.
Right. Okay. But getting there, if the governor's incapacitated, I hate to say anything worse, but and others are, how do we function? Judy.
The other point that we did stress during our meeting with the representative, she was really into the school's preparedness for earthquake. One of the things that we told her was over 20,000 of these children come through the Capitol on an annual basis. How are you going to feel if the marble comes down, crushes them in? I mean, we're worried about the schools also, but this is all going to be phased in.
Right.
Whatever they do for schools, whatever they do for the Capitol.
Yeah. We'll discuss this after the fund meeting, but we need to understand from schools how they prioritize. There are some extant programs that have not been taken advantage of because there's a matching requirement from districts, and you have local boards that control that decision. There's no state bonding capacity large enough to deal with the thousands of public buildings that need earthquake retrofit. And so we've got to prioritize. Obviously, we have a priority because we're sitting in a very earthquake vulnerable building that is of great significance for the state. But and we just have to convey that and understand the context of not just schools, but public safety buildings, emergency response buildings, fire stations, police stations, courthouses, local government seats of government. So we got to keep the pressure, build on the pressure, I think, and make sure that we make our contacts understand the tenor of the sentiment in this building now, and if it is not favorable, work to improve on it. Any yes, Ed.
This is Ed. I'm interested in knowing what the legislative admin's plans are, if any, for editorial board visits and media outreach, given that legislators often respond more positively when the media and their constituencies are speaking out in favor of spending money.
Kevin, you're welcome to respond to that. I'm not sure that that's your responsibility. Is the project thinking of that? Or I've certainly been considering it, but it may not be timely.
Yeah, we've.
There have been some discussions, early discussions, about various ways of whether it's going to editorial boards or bringing them in, but there's not been a consolidated strategic
right.
communications plan put together as to how to do that
right.
or where we're going to go yet.
Right. And that may not be welcomed by some legislators. I think it's awkward
it's
for
something
you.
That we have to yeah. work through. It won't be done in a vacuum by the project or by Ledge Admin. It will be done in concert with leadership. So,
Herb.
Remember, several of those major media outlets are in the basement of this building, and it shouldn't be too hard to get their attention that they're outside the core that's already been hardened. Okay, they've got four stories that are gonna come down on top of them.
I can tell you that the people in the Capitol press room are well aware that they're smack underneath the gold man.
Smack under is a.
They will be pulverized if the you know if they're at work when the big one hits. They know that. Point of fact,
Right, but that was unfortunately starting to fade in people's memory. And we've got new press people that think they'll live forever. all right, this very helpful. Thank you, Kevin, Marina. Keep up the good work. My understanding, a takeaway here is that you'll be talking to the subcommittee, capital construction subcommittee members next week with some fairly firm figures or discrete figures as opposed to vague figures. And that, and I guess I would want maybe through Gary let us either, both of us know when we can share that with the rest of the foundation membership as they make their rounds with their legislators. Okay.
Absolutely.
We don't want to preempt, certainly, or presume what the responses will be from individual subcommittee members, but having that number available, I think, to the rest of the assembly would be useful in our endeavors to at least give them some sense of what they gotta belly up to the bar with. And I guess the other question I have that would be useful in these discussions is the split between the 2015-17 biennium and the 2017-19 biennium. Because obviously you made a commitment. You can't not proceed with a borrow in the second subsequent biennium, but
logically you couldn't.
Right.
Not.
Right. Right.
Technically, you could not.
We just have an earthquake resilient shell. Right. Herb.
Is there any chance of us recouping from DAS any of the money that we're putting into the PUC building when we move out?
There's been a fair amount of discussion about that. I will say that we are not attempting to put in permanent solutions as we go through and renovate the building. We are understanding that it's a temporary location for us, and so where we choose to put walls may not be their preference. We're also adding temporary modular structures to house the chambers, and we will not be leaving those there. We're intending to sell those at the end and recoup our investment on that. So
I was thinking more of that in terms of when we moved out for the wings project, there was a lot of infrastructure and wiring that we had to do in our remote location that benefited any other government organization that would move in after us. The Ethernet, those type of things that it's going to cost you to put in and maybe somehow get reimbursed for that by the next user.
I will say that we're definitely looking at all of our relationships with DAS and in multiple parts of the project and kind of looking at it as a full package to understand what they get from us and what we get from them. There are some other things that we may be asking them to do that they wouldn't normally be doing. Okay. So we're trying to look at it big picture.
Good. A very helpful discussion. Thank you. I hope that our questions have been relevant and good luck. We wait with bated breath for the next announcement.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. All right. Dr. Busey and Jolene are here. Why don't we? Are we in lunch is here. So if you folks want to join us up here, and we haven't had any legislators descend on us yet, our members, but we know how busy they are, and they've certainly been successful. Has the other bill passed, Frankie? Have you heard?
What is it in the House?
Senate, 2037. Well,
I can find out.
Okay, let's take 2 minutes to get our lunch, or just go get your lunch, and we'll start. And Tony. Oh, yeah, same here. let's take a 5-minute comfort break. There we go. I saw the blue light. All right. Foundation meeting will resume. And while the rest of us have our mouths full, Julian Papanga and Dave Busey are going to bring us up to date on the Gateway.
Thank you, Chair Neal and members of the committee. Julian Papanga. I'm the visitor services supervisor. I'm also the project manager for phase one of the Capital History Gateway project. We have here today with us Dr. Dave Busey, who's the interpretive coordinator for the project. And what we would like to do is just give you an update on where we are on phase one. So with that, if you don't mind, I'd like to turn it over to Dave.
You should have all received a handout, Capital History Gateway Progress Report. The front page of that is simply background information to show how it evolved, beginning with the strategic plan. The strategic plan noted its mission, its core values, and it had strategic goals. The interpretive planning goals and messages were derived from those. So that's all page one is. It's just background information. If anybody asks you, everything we're doing is derived from that. I'm happy to say everything is moving forward with the Capital History Gateway. We have the website being developed as we speak. There are reviews of that, and it's moving along. We have two videos being produced, the virtual tour and the introductory video, and those are proceeding on schedule. And we have part two of the exhibits. Remember, we let an exhibits contract do the first phase of the exhibits. We did three of them initially, along with the fifth floor exhibit, and those are all in place, and now the design consultant is proceeding with developing part two, which is another five exhibits, plus the walking tour brochure, and then the trip planning guide, the discovery guide, and all the other elements that were not completed in part one. The idea is to have all of those designed and in place. Most of them designed and in place this year. There were a couple that will lag over into next year just because of our need to review. We tend to demand 2 weeks to review things, and it tends to push the project out. So that will complete phase one. And so, as I say, I'm happy to say that everything's on schedule, moving forward, and we'll have a presence. And just to anticipate a question that typically comes up, everything we're doing is built so it's movable. So if, in fact, we have to move out, then one of the first things we'll do is to develop a plan on where to put the individual pieces, that exhibits that we have developed, into other state government buildings, such as in the archives or the library or where you're going to move, places that people visit. So they will not go to waste. And then when we come back in, they will get moved back in. Any questions?
That's phase one, and I wouldn't mind also having a discussion, Herb, of phase two as well, so that people are brought up to speed on that process. But as to phase one and what Dave's already mentioned, are there any questions, comments?
I love what I've seen.
What, Frankie?
I love what I've seen.
Yeah.
Did you mention that we're able to, the executive committee has given us permission to continue?
I did in the executive committee report, and I think we don't have to take an action again. The fund board will, following this meeting, to extend your contract, and we're grateful that you will stick with us as we proceed with this great project. Joan?
I was just having a conversation with Dr. Busey and Julian. One of the things we need for some of our exhibits and materials is photos that we own. And so the idea is we're going to go out for a quick, do three bids and try to get some photographs. And we're going to be working on that. Julian and Dr. Busey are going to give me some criteria and a list of photos that they want. And I'm anticipating it's going to be a few hundred dollars, but we'll get three bids and we'll find out. So, Miss Jerry, there's a
budget item that I don't know if you were aware of. But I think it's already been approved.
Yeah,
we talked about it.
Yeah, so. It's in the gateway. Gateway runs with, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Phase two.
Well, phase two, I'd like to turn it over to Herb. Talk about phase two.
There's a, and I should have distributed this, there's a list of items that's being worked on for phase two that follow on from where we are in phase one. We haven't fleshed out all of this yet, but it's just a continuation of the exhibits that we're doing then doing some things and maybe even bringing on a facilitator to help take care of these programs and make sure they're ongoing, that they're managed properly. So all that's going through the Capital Gateway Council is on track for the coming up next year. So move ahead on that.
Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to add to that, all of those items that have been identified for the next phase are still working from what wasn't done in the strategic plan and what wasn't done in the interpretive plan, plus potential projects such as if the renovation happens, talking about doing what's going on with the Capitol building type of an exhibit.
Right. And to that topic, Jolene is exploring with parks and others to perhaps replicate what some other states did when they had their renovation projects, is to have a temporary structure, say, north of the wall of water here on the mall, if it's outside of the construction zone, with some temporary displays so that people would explain the project. And what's going on, and schedule, and the importance of the renovation, and I told her that we would certainly entertain participating in that and helping the fund that. It's not something I suspect that the contractors would necessarily undertake in their contract. But
if we included explanations or boards about the actual construction, they might.
Mm-hmm.
In order to educate the public about what they're doing.
Or give us a corporate gift, too, yeah. Mm-hmm. But also then might be the appropriate locale for the displays that we have, provided it's a substantial enough of a temporary structure to protect our exhibits. But they're going to be portable, and that's one possibility of siding it. Again, we got to explore that and cost it out. Look at alternatives like the State Library. I'm waiting for Jason to come back because that was his suggestion when he was on the board of the foundation membership a couple of years ago. There is one item that while Jolene is here that I'd like to take up, and that is an expenditure out of the Gateway Fund that needs to be approved by us and then ratified by the fund board at their meeting following this, and that is, I would say, no more than $500 for the, help me here, Jolene, I had it written down on my agenda, the Must-See Oregon Showcase, Saturday, May 16th at the Oregon Gardens, and this is be the second year. It's well attended, and it's folks doing exhibits, promoting sites to visit. You must see in Oregon, and a very minimal cost with a high profile, and I would make that motion. Any discussion, Jolene? Do you want to talk about?
The only additional thing would be Visitor Services will provide staffing.
Great. And I know the question came up before our meeting of, is there going to be a good display and everything? Well, yes, we've got lots of material to provide and show off the Capitol. So any discussion about that motion? Hearing none, no objection. Any objection? I'm sorry. All right. That's so approved. And we'll forward that to the fund board. following this meeting. Herb and Annette, since we're on history, and Jolene, Dave, you're welcome to stay with us, or you don't have to. I know you. And have a lunch.
Thank you.
All right, on us, there's some extras. Herb and Annette, oral history.
My papers, okay. Go ahead.
We're putting together a scope of work. We've identified a couple of sources who I think are going to be able to help us speed up this project. They're both associated with the Oregon Historical Society and have done oral history projects in the past, oral and video history projects. So we're going to try and get a quick statement of work from them that we can turn around, get on the street, advertise with three vendors that we will identify and get this rolling.
I would only add appreciation to both Herb and Doug Peet with the building. They have been able to fill in the blank that has been me as due to my schedule. So just wanted to say thank you publicly, and Fred, you as well. So thank you.
Well, no, she has put together most of this. We're going to just flesh it out and take care of it.
Very good. Do you have anything else from the History Committee to?
No.
Good. Thank you, Ed.
Well, I do have one announcement. You have granted us Jane Cease as another member of the History Committee. So thank you for that.
Yes. should never have not been on. So, not that she's the embodiment of history, but she carries quite a bit of it in her head. let me turn to Ed. We passed you over. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, let's have a communications committee report.
Okay, I'll be real quick because I know everybody is busy and got places to go, me included. So thank you, Fred, for letting me give an update to the group.
When Ed came here.
We had a meeting at executive committee meeting. Several things came up, including a general discussion about the kind of challenges that we have with communications right now. My time because of my new job and the frequency of contacts that we're making and have increased through not only our newsletter but kind of day-to-day communications about the Capitol and the need for development communications and all those sorts of things. And we've been looking at the methods of communicating as well. Fred earlier mentioned that Nick has gotten a contract for Constant Contact, which is a very robust way of doing email communications. I'm sure you've probably seen messages from Constant Contact or other companies like it, other platforms like it that the companies use to send emails out to their subscribers. So we're looking at doing more of that and are putting together the final touches of our current newsletter, and we would plan to use them to help us with our constant contact communications, because there is some small design work and layout work that's involved in that every time. Would be far more cost effective, I think, to do that with in-house than it would be to do newsletter AI and printing as well, too. So there's cost benefits and there's time benefits and there's savings both ways to do this in this new manner. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Let me just point out that the printing contract is still in development. We've got this newsletter taken care of, but for overall printing, not just for us, but for the visitor services and Gateway, publishing is still in Doug Pietz's hands, and he's processing that. Herb and I had a conversation with him this morning. So we can't presume that it's in-house that will follow, be our source in the future. But that aside, questions of Ed or comments? Joan?
Ed, I just wanted to clarify what you said about the website. So you are going to look at what we currently have out on the website and figure out how to transition it to how to change it when we transition to our 501c3, is that right?
Well, we need to do an audit of what's working and what's not working on the current website and then figure it out from there, Joan. I don't know that we have the expertise to figure out how to, move stuff to a new website. I think probably we'll end up having to contract that out. The designer will build a website from scratch rather than move existing things to the new website.
That's good, because
I think that the idea is to have our own standalone web platform, our own web address that's from the state system.
Okay, that's good, because if you go out there and jump around on the current website, there's things that are weird. Links that don't work. The address on the Frankie video or the phone number is Debbie's in President Courtney's office. It's at the end of the video, Frankie. It says call here. There's just some weirdness out there. I still think it would be sporting to have links to all of our bios. So again, as part of people giving, I know that when we got money for the 75th, the guys from Emmerich and they went and looked to see who the heck I was, and they said, "Well, you're going off the foundation." Well, no, I'm not. I just got reappointed, and so because they go look, who are you?
Yeah.
What's your background? So, just things like that.
The website auditor is going to find a lot of that stuff and probably ask them more questions than we have answers to. There's been, frankly, there's been limited resources available for managing and keeping the web pages up to date. And we're going to have to, I think, find a way to do that and do it with, as minimum amount of hassle as we can and figure out
right.
What roles and responsibilities are. So
let me ask.
It's going to tell us, what exists and point to where the holes are, and
right.
Then we'll have to have a conversation.
Let me, Ed. Ed, I'm getting the sense, and we'll talk about this when Joan's governance subcommittee report as well, that we really are cutting a lot of cords here with Ledge Admin and OLIS. And in 5 months' time, literally exactly 5 months from today, September 15th, and if we have to have a standalone, operational, and attractive and useful website online by September 15th, how quickly do we need this audit and a contractor, and do we need some budget appropriation, or can we just do it within the money we've already budgeted for? I think we've got funds left over in our whole database appropriation. I turn to Nick here.
I think we need to figure out what the transition is. I mean, I don't know how Ledge Admin feels about this, but it would not, in my mind, it would not hurt us to continue to have the current website as functional as it is.
Okay.
I think you just on the 15th or whatever it is in September, I don't think that we necessarily need to switch something off as long as everybody knows that the new website is coming. I think we'll be okay. But
right. I just asked Ed. I just made an aside to Nick to check with Chancy and IS here to see what their expectations are.
I don't think anybody has expectations right now about the website in particular, because in the bill, come September 15th, the ties with legislative administration will just end, and it says in there specifically that we will provide administrative support.
Right.
So it's not like it comes September 15th, we have to have it, or the website goes down.
All right.
And that's
that.
That's
good. That's comforting.
I want to add on to, as we had discussed, I think, last week, and I've talked with Sharon, that with the current website, I'm working on not redesigning altogether, but cleaning it up a little bit from where it is now, so that it's a little bit more user-friendly, easier to use, and easier to maintain.
Easier to find. I have Herb, and then I have Jenny.
Just a quick
Joan.
One on the website strategic plan. It may be updated, but the dates would seem to indicate that it's not been updated.
So the heading hasn't been updated, if the plan has. Jenny?
Fred, this is about the next newsletter. I bumped into somebody earlier today who has been asked to submit an article, and they're wondering about deadlines for the next time around.
Okay.
You and Ed have any?
We have a rule that we have four newsletters a year. This one was planned additionally to be the winter 2015 January one, and we were going to expect a spring one, a fall, and it's a summer and fall. But it's now 4 months later, and we're calling it the April newsletter, and it'll be out hopefully by the 30th of April on the street and online. So I don't think we've anticipated when the next one will be. My thought, and this is just, again, what early thinking about it, and this would go in line with, we had a communications plan. I think we need to apprise our supporters of our transition, and I assume that both bills will have been affected by and signed by the governor by the time. So I'm thinking around sine die, June, July, so that we can tell, and I don't know where this fits in with yours and Sharon's schedule of what you want to put in a newsletter versus other development efforts that we're undertaking, how that fits in. And I think if it's after sine die, I think we'd want to talk about the renovation project. So I'm looking at just as quickly after sine die as possible. And I think we should be prepared to get it out promptly. So I guess we'd have to have assignments and know what our content basically is going to be, and have volunteers write the articles prior to July 1. Sharon?
I was going to say, Ed, you probably plan to address the timeline, don't you, at your communications meeting?
Ed?
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Say that again. I could barely hear that.
Oh, sure.
I assume you plan to, at your communications meeting in a couple weeks, lay out the timelines for the rest of the newsletters?
Yes, I think we're going to have a discussion about newsletters versus constant contact, because I think, as I mentioned earlier, moving to constant contact would allow us to communicate organization. I think we'd be better served by the inbox as opposed to the mailbox.
Thank you.
Tony.
One of the things that came with the contract on the video was enough DVDs to send to all the school districts. Have we ordered those?
We have 500 DVDs. We're selling them in the gift shop. I'm taking them on the road and hawking them at public meetings, at Rotaries and the Optometrists Association, et cetera. And that's in the newsletter that I will go anywhere in the state to show this video, hopefully after I get the camper on the truck so that I got a place to sleep in Baker or wherever. Baker City. Yes. I mean, being former legal counsel of the League of Oregon Cities, I should remember it's Baker City. Right. All right. We don't have enough to go to every school district, nor a plan. Now, we're going to do part of phase one is this visitor prep for teachers. Is that correct, Irv? Is that phase two? Yeah, and we're going to phase two to make sure that there's a package for teachers and chaperones prior to their bus dropping their kids off here, students here off at the Capitol. So they're oriented before they come. They've got some idea of what they expect, as well as then a map of where to go when they get here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sharon.
But just to clarify, we're going to hold off in distributing those then until we have the education packets.
Well, we're not going to distribute the Beneath the Dome videos to school districts, right?
Okay.
Right.
The reason I'm asking is because we have like three grant opportunities that we're going to be pursuing, of which these things would fit, and the deadlines are like, I've got like 3 weeks.
Well, it's a good educational tool,
but that's why I'm asking these questions, because we've got to drill these projects.
I think it's a little premature at this point.
All right, thank you.
Because we haven't had that discussion with the education folks about what's appropriate curriculum material. Jane. Yes.
What I heard Mr. Meeker say is contract to produce.
Was it just 500?
It was 500, okay. Yeah. It wasn't for, the contractual provision was not for distribution of school children, but it was for 500.
500.
Right.
Because my memory is there's something like 508 districts.
But we don't.
That number came from, I believe.
Okay. I think we're trying to sell them at the gift shop. Okay. Yeah. Frankie.
Well, I just, whatever we can do to have the groups better prepared really, really benefit the building.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I think it's wonderful that it's going to be used as a preparation packet.
Well, that's what is being produced now in phase one, as then the educational packet for the instructors is in phase two. Yeah. But not the Beneath the Dome video. I'm 28 minutes without it doesn't really give them orientation to the visit. It's a great piece and wonderful lesson, but it's not a pre-visit preparation per se. Okay, any other comments? All right, thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
And I've already told Ed, we had a conversation this morning. And for the record, I haven't talked to Ms. Edwards, Brim Edwards, about it, but I hope to that she will accept appointment to the Communications Committee. We'll see. All right. Joan, Judy, special events.
Hey, Mr. Chair, I have to sign off. I've got a business. I need to connect with so.
All right. Thank you, Ed.
Appreciate it.
Judy.
I will be brief. The special events committee has been co-sponsoring some of the Capitol events. The most recent one was the Cherry Blossom Days, which we think is going to become Cherry Blossom Festival, very much like what Salem used to do many, many years ago. Huge success. Fred could tell you all about it. He attended. I wasn't able to. But Joan and I and Marnie, together with Senator Jackie Winters, did go to the Salem City Council meeting where the mayor issued a proclamation in honor of Cherry Blossom Day, which, so she accepted it and kept our original, I guess. The next event is probably going to be May 16th, which Fred just told me just a couple of minutes ago about whether we should have a booth there or not. I guess I'm questioning because when Julene said they would have staff there, then I was thinking, okay, so
they're going to take care of everything.
They're going to, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah. Right. That's why I didn't ask her to run it by you. It's like we're off the hook except for the paying for it.
Off the hook, or do we get to put our name on it too?
Well, you get to go if you want.
No, she's
talking about co-sponsoring.
I'm talking about the 16th of May when people read stuff about who's doing it.
Well, and I had that same thought. I thought we should have some kind of presence there, and so probably with whatever information we generally put out on our table, we can do that. I don't know that I'm going to be able to make it. If somebody else can make it, let me know. I'm thinking if they have staff there and they have the materials, that might suffice for that particular one. But I think we should be listed as a co-sponsor.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think Julene's going to have any kind of problem.
No.
Will you follow up with her on that?
I will.
Great, thank you.
Because we had talked about with Julene about tagging us, meaning co-branding our two names, anytime we're sponsoring an event.
Right,
it's
exactly.
You know, and we'd actually work,
and she's
working
happy
on the graphic
to do
that. For
that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
The next event then after that is the Heritage Fair, which is May 28th. It's basically over the noon hour. It's 11 to 1. And the volunteers that I've heard from are Joan, Herb, Jerry, and Jane. And I will be there also. And if you want, and Frankie. And so it's only a two-hour kind of thing. So what I can do is send an email and put three people at one time and the others the next hour, whatever. I'll take care of that. For that, we're also, speaking of the Beneath the Dome DVD, we plan to have a drawing and use that as one of the prizes. So, and I think, too, I'm going to use the fact sheet for the renovation project, kind of have it there so people, they start asking questions or we can kind of present it. The next event is July 11th, which is Concert in the Park, and it's a work in progress from what I understand from Julene. The Visitor Services is doing the heavy lifting on that, but we're co-sponsoring and we'll be listed. Then we have holidays at the Capitol. We're going to work on an exclusive party at Mahonia Hall, and I plan to zip upstairs once I'm released from here to talk to the governor's office to see about getting us on the schedule. I know that the tree lighting is December 1st, but I'm not sure if exactly how the mechanics are going to work. The special events committee is going to meet on May 8th, so I hope to come to some kind of resolution at that point about how what the date will be, and I'll know how to apply to the governor's office for the use of Mahonia Hall. And that's we are meeting on May 8th at 1:30. As it happens, that's the same day and practically the same time as Capitol Construction. So you might want to pop in there at 1 o'clock to see if they've done anything.
Okay, any questions of Judy? A lot of activity.
Good activity.
I would just like to ask that next year she scheduled the cherry blossoms to bloom.
Yeah, I'm afraid I made that point.
Early spring. Who knew?
Well, if it does that way again, I do think you should plan to drape some artificial ones on at least one tree, so the Japanese people can dance under.
They did bring artificial cherry blossom branches, mainly because for the kimono and the traditional Japanese folk dancing, it was around the Great Seal and the Rotunda, and it really was gorgeous. And I knew that they were fake cherry blossoms, but they looked pretty good, and they knew when to wave them around, and it was very nice. Norm?
I liked Herb's idea of scheduling the cherry blossom. Resolution from the House and the Senate.
Afraid there might be some folks in both chambers that would deny that the weather pattern has changed.
And who knows, it may not.
It may not, that's right.
We could never know. Never know.
All right. Jenny, a brief legislative update?
One item about today, we had two bills on the Senate floor.
Yeah. Right, Terry.
Is there not a fund in perpetuity to maintain that place?
I don't know if it still exists, but that's how it goes.
So where is it?
Who's?
What a lot of you don't know is that we were able to pick that home up when Vic Atiyah was still governor,
yes,
under a fire sale price. I mean, it was ridiculously low. And unfortunately, the next administration coming in scuttled it for us. That deal went away, but our position was never should that house be there without a fund to maintain it in perpetuity without tax dollars. And I thought they established one.
And all of that may be in place, and I'm not, all of that's being looked at and researched, and that's why there's nothing happening until there's a lot more homework done.
Oh.
So just know that.
Mr.
Jane? Yes, Jane.
I'd swear I remember there being a fund that was established, and I think Dave Frohnmayer had something to do with it also.
They all went out and raised money.
Yeah, right. And so there must be records of some sort
somewhere.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Let's turn to governance.
Okay. You. I think you have in your packets you have one document, governance committee work plan. Norm and Gary, I don't know if you got that document, but I will send it to you if you didn't. I don't think it got sent out to...
I think it's here.
Oh, good. Okay. And then I'm passing out the... the policy update list. Norm and Gary, you have a more detailed version. And what I'm passing out today is a more simplified version, but it doesn't hurt to have the more detailed one. And I have copies of the more detailed one. It's just kind of like where things are in the draft. So essentially,
Sharon and I have been working on what we need to put in place with the anticipated signing of House Bill 2037. And we are working on drafts for the bylaws and the articles of incorporation. Actually, we are working with Bill Manny at Miller Nash on the bylaws as we speak, because we wanted to, we have a few kind of early questions for him that we need to get addressed before we kind of do a final draft of the bylaws. And then once that's done, we'll know where to go in terms of our policies and what we need to put in place. But I also know that Sharon and her staff have got some, a good start on some drafts of those policies. So I think that if you look at the Governance Committee work plan, I really think that we can have things ready for adoption at the June meeting, the bylaws and the articles of incorporation. And then we'll continue working on the policies to have in place in September. Do I have the policies doing in, are we going to have that by June? I don't remember. Yeah, looks like we are, right.
Yeah.
So at some point, once we have good drafts in place, I need to get the Governance Committee to weigh in and give us your input as well. And we haven't quite decided how to do that, but it might be by email and just ask for input on what you see. And if we find that we have a lot of activity that's going on, maybe we'll convene a phone meeting or a meeting. But because I know some of you have a lot of expertise, Norm, on these things. And Judy, I think you did some work for us ahead of time as well about some policies. So you might have some suggestions and so forth for us. A lot of the policies on the list where we have policies will be probably combined. It's, we're not necessarily going to have a policy on every single one of these issues. They may fit into all into one. We think we're going to be able to have the bylaws be pretty sparse and have policies available so that we can change them without having to change bylaws. But again, some of that's attorney driven. Sharon, anything I missed or that you want to add?
No, I just that actually everything's drafted. It just depends on what the attorney directs us, you know, on just right. some language, but we've
okay.
got the
okay. Right. And I got an email from Mr. Manny this morning.
Oh, okay.
Sharon and I will be scheduling some time to chat with him so we can get the direction that we need and move forward.
Right. I just want everyone to understand, again, what the bill does, 2037, is it doesn't create a new 501c3. We have one. It's the fund. And what the fund then will do is amend its bylaws and proceed with a new, larger membership. And that'll be the Oregon State Capital Foundation. With the name, but it's not a new 501c3, and so that transition is just consider the fund to be a caterpillar, the bill to be our cocoon, and the new foundation is September 15th is the butterfly. And so we're not trying to build something totally fresh, but simply making sure that we change it now. What we were told by Bill Manny before when we were drafting the bill was that we don't have to file anything new with the IRS or the Department of Justice or corporations. We just amend our 990. I'm assuming we would also the next year for the
yeah.
so after James Trump. Probably would be in 2016. Jane.
Just so everybody, maybe it's obvious to everybody, and I don't need to say this, but that bill has passed both houses. It has no emergency clause on it.
Yes, it does.
As soon as the governor signs it, it's effective. So we have a time certain.
It has an emergency clause.
Oh, it does.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. So in 90 days, I thought it didn't.
Yeah. It takes effect as soon as she signs it.
Yeah, okay. So we know then when she signs it that it is September the 15th, and by God, that's when we do it.
Right. And so we will be working with Joan and Sharon on what
until September 15th.
What we have to do. Again, we won't be the there'll still just be the fund board that might have to do something in June. We haven't yet figured out if we need to have a plenary meeting of all of us prior to our October retreat, prior to September 15th, in order to adopt these changes. Maybe September 16th, I guess. No, we're supposed to have done it by the 15th, right? That's your deadline. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it takes wings. Takes wings and ascends. All right, Joan.
Okay, so I guess I should ask for input on the task list. Norm or Jenny or anybody, is there anything in there that you think is off kilter or that we should change? Or if you haven't had time to read through it in detail, I mean, anybody, let me know if you think something needs to be changed. And then the last item I have on governance is we do have some pro bono time from Miller Nash, but it's conceivable that we could exceed that time because of these important changes that we need to make in terms of our organization. Sharon and I are going to try to do as much of the work as we can ourselves so that we're not racking up attorney time on that kind of stuff. But I would like to propose that we authorize up to $7,500 in budgeting for potential legal work. Sharon tells me that we should not need anywhere near that, especially with our pro bono money, but I'd like to go there just in case we need it. So that's a motion, I think.
All right, discussion. Nick?
I just have one question. Do we have anywhere written down how many hours we get?
Thank you.
It's an amount. It's roughly around $2,000.
Well,
but it's,
we need our, to report.
To the,
right, Nick. I think the reason Nick is asking is we need to show pro bono.
Right, and actually, we have. I thought you had a copy, but I'll go back and look. I have something, an email from Brian Doherty, that it was well over $6,000 worth of services in the last calendar year, without a bill for the. But our agreement with them to be a pro bono was that if their expenses exceeded $2,000 in the calendar year, we would have some discussions.
And we're having those discussions now.
Right, for in futuro, but not, we don't owe them anything for the past generosity of Miller Nash Law Firm, but we'll make sure you have an accounting of their.
Okay, to assist Nick and our bookkeeper, Would they entertain the idea of sending us a billing that shows the amount that's pro bono?
Oh, I bet they would.
And then we flip it around and we send a letter to them acknowledging that in-kind contribution of X amount of hours of service, then that's what you need for your audit trail.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So,
Nick?
The only reason that I bring it up is I know that our contracts guy would tell me that for auditing purposes and budgeting purposes, you have that contract in place, but also that it would be robust to have
right
something in writing that shows.
I totally agree.
The amount of pro bono hours, and then
right
we have to start paying.
Right.
Okay, and that's some of the discussion that's going on currently with Miller Nash, because Brian, there was kind of this silence, and then a phone call, and it was a very productive phone call, and we'll. Positive and happy, but we need to be a little more specific. We need to be more specific, and I think for their side too, so that they don't get surprised by instead of 2,000, 6,000. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
So anyway, so I have a motion.
Yes, ma'am. Your budget.
Go ahead. For budget.
Proceed.
I made.
Oh, you
so
did.
You
well, it was $7,500.
Yes.
Not to exceed.
Up to.
To exceed $7,500 for legal work for this transition. And I think that's not just this fiscal year, but would carry over well past September 15th, because we're going to need them.
Wait a minute, would you reiterate that?
Well, the appropriation now would be for not to exceed $7,500 for this fiscal year, but you need to, all I'm saying is you need to build in expenses similar to that for your 2015-2016 budget.
Maybe.
Yeah, it should be less.
So does the motion include that?
No. I think we're just, we'll take that up when we adopt the budget
part
in June.
Of the budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Oh, all of it. Yeah. I'm glad it's September 15th and not July 1 transition. all right. Any discussion of that motion? Good. Any objection? Hearing none, it's adopted, and the fund will take that up immediately preceding this meeting. And this meeting, is there any further business before us? Everyone's aware of the next meeting, which is scheduled for June 17th.
Actually, the fund meeting is scheduled right now.
Right, the fund meeting, but yes, yes.
Scheduled right now.
Right, the fund meeting, but yes, yes.
Actually, the fund meeting is